97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Mark Reardon.
There's all these new words that are just meant to keep one person from disagreeing with another person's position.
And you have to be pithy. What do I mean by pithy? How about this? Republicans want to kill your kids.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Well, I think I'm back, but mentally, I'm not back.
Okay,
there's no doubt about that.
Already grumpy.
Well, yeah. Here's the great irony of it, Sue, and you probably will not be surprised by this. You know, I was so freaked out. I was worried about sleeping on the trip because I don't do very well with that. Like if I'm in a hotel room or if I'm at somebody else's house or anything like that, I slept very well on the trip.
Oh, good.
Then I get back last night. We actually got back early from Athens, and I get back home probably before 9 o'clock in the evening. And my wife goes to sleep right away. She actually is not feeling well. And my daughter goes to sleep. And then I'm up till about 3 in the morning probably, which I think is like 11 o'clock in Athens. So right now for me, it is just after 11 p.m. in Greece. And I'm here doing a radio show. I just have a feeling that this is going to be one of those days where I don't even remember some of the things that I say. So I hope they're really good things that I say, but I'm not convinced that they will be. We have a lot of news to cover. I do want to share some information about the trip, but I think the headliner here this afternoon has to be Fred, because he is the religion editor over at the other side of the building, KMOX, and I haven't really spoken with him today because he's been busy with everything related to a new pope. And I guess that's, for those people who have not paid attention, that's some of the breaking news, and we'll get to that here in just a moment. But Fred, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Good to see you back.
I don't know how you dealt with this international travel stuff with the jet lag. I was fine, by the way, going over there. I didn't sleep. See, here's the thing. I didn't sleep one wink on the airplane. Everyone else was like crashed. What was funny is that we had an entire Air Canada plane on two flights to ourselves. And wow. I'm not really exaggerating. So on the first flight, we took Lufthansa from St. Louis to I keep wanting to say Munich, but to Frankfurt. By the way, can I just say something here to both of you and to Ethan?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say stupid stuff today that I don't even realize that I say, so just correct me. Just jump in.
All right.
No, all Mark, right. It's not Monday. It's Thursday or whatever day it is. So we went over on Lufthansa, but we came back on Air Canada. So we flew into Montreal. By the way, no offense. If I never have to hear a damn French person or German person again for like the longest time, because we are on a French cruise liner.
French isn't bad. German is so choppy.
Yeah, it is. But I'm going to get into a lot of stories about the French here that I'm going to tell in the next couple of days because they were interesting. So where was I? So we come back on Air Canada. The flight is like, I mean, only half full from Athens to Montreal. And I even heard a flight attendant say, well, yesterday this flight was booked. So we get onto the airplane. We have seats all around us. So Becky got like an entire row in the middle,
wow.
Like all
That's
four seats.
Awesome.
I basically took, because she was laying down, I was the two seats, you know, to the window. And then we get to Montreal. We have to take a real quick flight here to St. Louis. That was really fast. It was like 2.5 hours. And seats open all over the place. Thank God, because I'm sitting on that flight, and I'm like, I know I haven't showered like in the last few hours, but I don't think it's me. And it wasn't me, so I moved back a few aisles on that. But we get back last night, like I said, in pretty good time. And I think the lesson and what I'm trying to say here is the next time I do international travel, please tell me to not come to work the next day, because I think that was a bad idea. Now, having said that, there's so much that I want to talk about, and I was taking notes the whole time on some things that happened on the trip. I have, you know, some observations about the international coverage. There was a point where I just literally had to not watch BBC World or some of these other things, because the first couple of nights we were in Greece, I dared watch that. And it's hard to find English language stuff. Fred, I don't know if you found any when you were in Japan.
No,
did you try?
Not much, no.
I'm flipping around in the hotel room before we get on the cruise ship because, by the way, Sue, is that always right in front of you right here?
No.
Can I move it? Because
yeah.
it's annoying me already.
Okay, fine.
I can't even see Sue because there's a Ring camera in front of us. We're going to worry about what happens in the studio, not what happens on the stream. So I'm watching the first couple of days, and there is no sense of reality whatsoever in the way that they're covering the Trump administration. At the beginning of the trip is right when they elected the new Prime Minister of Canada. And it was always about Canada sends a message. The 51st state sends a message. I don't think they build it that way. And I'm watching somebody on one of the English language channels, and I didn't know who it was Larry Sabato, who is a blah, blah, blah lefty. And he's on there. Again, he's giving the world, and this is what happens in a microcosm here, or maybe not even a microcosm. Maybe it's a macrocosm. Is that a word? I'm going to make that a word right now. But we know that that's what happens with the media coverage here. And I keep hearing from people, oh, Trump's underwater. Trump, nobody likes Trump anymore. Nobody supports Trump.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, well, that's what I heard over there, and that's what some people here are trying to say. If you look, and I started paying attention a couple of days ago to all of the news sources, and they just want to keep punching him and keep punching him and keep punching him. Lo and behold, I noticed the stock market's come back a little bit here in the last couple of weeks. Here's my favorite. We'll talk about this with Brian Kilmeade's coming up a little bit later this hour. We got Jennings on as well. That's another thing. The first day I'm over there, I dared to open Twitter, and I see Jennings on stage with Trump in Michigan. Right, Fred?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And then next thing I know, he's on Air Force One, and he teases something. Did you guys see the tease? Like something big is going to happen? Right. Do we know what that is at this point?
Nothing's
okay.
come out.
Well, so we'll ask Scott about that. It may or may not be a book. So we'll see.
I thought it was a trade agreement.
And you can pre-write. Not between Jennings and Trump. No, I don't think he's going to announce.
Not between those two.
No, not between those two. I think that Scott's going to write a book, and we're going to find out about it. Yes, yes. So that was the announcement that was made there. So, you know, I was paying attention to the first couple of days, but I was trying to listen to the coverage through whatever world lens that they were providing, and I just was getting so angry. I wanted to throw something at the TV. But again, when you really think about it, and in some of the coverage that we get here, it's so unfair. It's unfair on a regular basis. When I have people tossing things out to me, like I go back and forth with Jeff Smith, former state senator who's on the roundtable. Is he here tomorrow, Fred? Or not? Is it somebody else?
No, it is.
He is here tomorrow.
Yeah.
So he'll do this tomorrow, and I'll turn his microphone off, I think. Oh, Trump's underwater. Nobody. It's the same narrative.
Underwater.
So my point. Well, what they mean is on all these issues, let's take immigration as one issue. All the support for people, you know, like Americans who gave a rat's ass that millions of people were coming into this country and they voted for Trump because they wanted it to stop.
Yeah, how did they justify that? How did they think he got in office if he's all terrible and we hate him?
Well, because now, let's face it, the coverage is 90% negative. There's nothing that's positive about it. So, of course, some of the polling, when you start going out there and you say, a Maryland father, and that's what people think.
Sure.
Now, look, on the trip, we had a lot of great 97.1 FM Talk listeners, and I'll kind of address that as we move along here today and tomorrow. Really, really awesome group, and we all had a great time. But not everyone had the same politics. Mike Kenny, my travel guide, who's from Minnesota, not on my side, but Mike's a great guy. He listens to the show from up there. He had two friends that were from Minnesota that jumped on with our group, and they certainly weren't, you know, necessarily on our side. But the thing that's always consistent with people who might not be on my side of politics, and this includes my own sister, who my sister sends me a message when she gets here to take care of my daughter, and she goes, "Hey, your TV might explode. I have it on MSNBC." Now, I'm not going to engage with my sister. She's taking care of my daughter. But I want to say, what in the world are you thinking of? And I have these NPR listeners, too, some friends of mine. And here's one thing I heard yesterday. You guys can put this into context. Oh, you know what Trump's doing for his birthday? He's throwing himself a big parade. As if the anniversary of the United States Army, 250 years, he changed the date of that anniversary to coincide with his birthday. That's the interpretation that I have,
oh
right?
My gosh.
Is it actually on his birthday?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That's a funny coincidence, though.
No, it's not a coincidence. He did it on purpose, Ethan. That's what I'm hearing from people.
It's
no,
insane.
It can't be on purpose. He chose that because it's his birthday. It has nothing to do with the proud history that we have in this country. And it's amazing to me to go to another country. And what are they doing? They're proud of their country. They're proud of their heritage. They're proud of the legacy. Amazing Greek history. I mean, some of this stuff is overwhelming, even compared to the rest of Europe, right? You're talking about hundreds, if not thousands of years BC. So every country on the planet can show off their culture, can show off their history. We can't do that as Americans, though, because we need to be shamed by slaves, even though the slaves probably helped quite a bit building all that stuff over there, because I still don't understand how they're doing it. So it's ridiculous the way that this guy is being covered. It's ridiculous the way that most of the issues are covered. That's why we try to highlight things that are different. Dwayne Patterson's going to come on this afternoon and talk about this just a little bit. Jennings is here. We got Kilmeade coming up. So, I tried to stay away from the politics just because I was on vacation. But there was a certain point a couple of days ago that I had to get back in. And I spent a lot of time on the airplane heading back last night following stories. And we're going to cover all of that. I've got some great audio for us this afternoon, etc. But let me start with the Pope, because that obviously that's an important part of today. I'll be honest, this does not affect me. And I've always been very confused by the Pope as a non-practicing Wisconsin Synod Lutheran. My family is Catholic. Here's something interesting. Do you know, Fred, the difference between the Catholic Church and the Greek Orthodox Church?
You tell me.
There's really no difference. There's one difference.
Ruling.
They do not recognize the Pope. That's what the only difference is, really. Right. So I have never quite understood the fascination with the Pope. I get that there's billions of Catholics around the world.
1.4.
Thank you. Billion plus four. Not my thing. And I don't want to be disrespectful to Catholics. Doesn't really make any sense to me. Never has. But Fred, tell us about the new Pope. And here's the biggest problem I have with the new Pope here. And I think everyone in St. Louis is going to have a big problem. Apparently he's a Cubs fan.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Did we confirm this?
No, we have not confirmed it, but it's looking like it's trending in that direction.
I thought they weren't going to be American. That was a first.
What happened
there? So that's been the general rule of thumb. The Cardinals would never give the power of the papacy, of the Pope, to an American, to a superpower. As we were getting closer to the conclave, people were saying, I don't know, from what we're hearing from these Cardinals, there's a couple good candidates here that might work that way. And part of the reasons they said was because, first, the Vatican finances are in such bad shape. People were saying we need an American to come in, a good administrator, to try and fix some of these.
Good Lord. Oh. Have they looked at our country? I did not realize that. That's interesting.
You may have had that going for him. The other thing is, of the 10 American cardinals who could have been Pope, who were, at the conclave and voting, Cardinal Robert Prevost of Chicago, who's the one that was elected, and he chose the name Pope Leo XIV. He's the least American of all the Americans. So he was born in Chicago, grew up in Chicago on the South Side. So you tell me, Mark, is that more White Sox neighborhood than Cubs?
Right, that's definitely White Sox. But there's an indication that he might not be a White Sox fan, right?
Right.
And Guilty by association.
That's definitely the number one issue that we should solve here, whether he's a Cardinals fan or a Cubs fan or a White Sox fan. But go ahead.
So he grew up in Chicago, was educated, at a Catholic high school, a Catholic parish grade school, went to Villanova, went to the university then, the Gregorian University in Rome. And then became a missionary in Peru for most of his life. So he spent, some time in the United States, a whole lot of time in Peru as a missionary. In about 2023, Pope Francis named him a cardinal.
He's a newer cardinal. A lot of these guys are
only
newer
20
cardinals,
months.
Right?
He's only been a cardinal for 20 months. And he came back to the Vatican, and he headed up one of the most important departments at the Vatican, the Congregation for Bishops, which is the group, he's the person that vets all the new bishops. So he's in touch with all the bishops and archbishops and cardinals, and everyone knows him. So he had that going for him, and that was one of the most powerful jobs at the Vatican. So he had that in his favor. He was also seen as being kind of shy and not the most charismatic of people, but judging from his first comments from the papal balcony, he was smiling. He was comfortable. He wasn't nervous. He seemed to make a really good impression on everyone gathered at St. Peter's Square and everyone around the world that was watching.
Did I hear that he didn't say anything in English?
No, he didn't. He spoke in three
languages.
What's
up with that?
He spoke in Italian, Latin, and
Spanish.
Why, if he's American,
why wouldn't
I was
you,
wondering
you wouldn't
the same
want to do
well,
that, huh?
I would think he wanted to appeal to everyone there. As opposed to just Americans, and come out sounding like an American pope.
What's the deal with the name? So you said his name is Robert Prevost, but then he changed it to
Every
Leo
pope,
XIV.
And it hasn't always been this way. Maybe in the last 1,000 years or so, they've chosen different names. And I think part of it was, the first pope to do that changed his name because his name was like Mercury. Real name was Mercury, and that was a pagan god or something like sure. that. And so he didn't want to use that. Another one changed his name shortly after that because his name was Peter. And he didn't want to be like the first Pope,
right.
St. Peter.
Right.
So he took a different name. Gradually, everyone started, so for a thousand years or
right?
so, it became tradition, picking your own name.
Is there John. Significance, though, to this name?
Yeah, and this Pope Leo the 13th was really good at doing social ministry. So some people are saying this is going to he's going to continue some of the social programs, the reaching out to the lesser of all, like Pope Francis did. You know, a little bit more progressive when it comes to you know, your ministry, that sort of thing, which is part of his life as a missionary. He did that every day when he was in Peru.
Hey, by the way, I'm just sensing something here this afternoon. I think I'm going to let Fred host the show. He's so good on this stuff,
yeah.
and you're much more lucid than I, so just keep going. I'll tell you when we need to take a break. I'm your board op this afternoon, okay. Fred, okay?
He shared a bunch of great information the last couple of days yeah. about it, too, and he's kind of had me hooked on it. I'm not Catholic, but
Pope John
I've been fascinated.
Is the most popular John. Pope name. 23 Johns, 25 if you consider the two John Pauls.
Mm.
But being elected on 2 days, I know Sue said, is that fast? And keep in mind, when Pope Francis was elected, it was on the fifth ballot on the second day back in 2013.
Okay. So it didn't take that long
when
then.
Pope Benedict was elected in 2005, it was on the fourth ballot on the second day. So we had a trend going there. When Pope John Paul II was elected, it was on the third day on the eighth ballot. So it took a little bit longer for him. And the age is something to notice as well.
He's in his 60s, right?
He's 69. He's going to turn 70 in September. And compare that to Pope Benedict was 78 when he was elected. Pope Francis was 76 when he was elected. So if you have a 69-year-old going on 70-year-old Pope, it means you're going to have a period of stability at the Vatican. You're not looking to have a different pope in 5-10 years. It's going to be, you know, hopefully
in theory
right. a long time.
Hmm. Well,
but not too long, they say, because you want a holy father and not an endless father or an eternal father.
Interesting.
Because you don't want it to go too long.
All right. You know what I'm going to do here? I'm going to do something responsible. I'm going to take a break because we're getting a little long in the tooth here on the open. I do want to come back. We have Kilmeade scheduled for a little later this hour because I figured I kind of sensed that maybe I need a little bit more time here in the open. So we'll take a break. Brian's going to join us for his weekly visit right around 3:45. We have Jennings in the next hour. We'll talk a little bit about what he might have been teasing with President Trump when he was in on Air Force One. I think he sat down, you know, he sat down with Elon, with Pete Hegseth, and some of the cabinet members as well. Steve Malloy, who is awesome on some climate change stuff, and I have to talk with Steve because you know what happened the first day that I was in Greece, don't you?
Antarctica?
The power outage in Spain.
Ooh.
The power outage in Spain, which... How much coverage did that get here?
Not a lot.
Okay. Not a lot.
Do you know why it happened?
No.
Because they depend on wind and solar. And 3 days before this happened, they go out on the media in Spain and they're bragging about it. They're energy independent.
That's
and the whole
hilarious.
Grid comes down. We were very nervous that that was going to affect us. So I want to talk with Steve Malloy about that and some other issues. Dwayne Patterson, who is with HotAir.com, works with Hugh Hewitt. Hugh Hewitt just had the president on yesterday, and I think they have J.D. Vance on today,
right?
Tomorrow. Right? Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then we'll have... there's this guy slated for in the 5 o'clock hour. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Fred, B-O-D-I. Oh, yeah, Fred's going to join us to talk about the Pope.
But I said earlier, that's the easiest booking I've ever had.
There you go. All right, we'll take a break. I have some more thoughts. We'll talk a little bit more about what happened to me in the last week. We're coming back in a moment. Kilmeade later this hour. Audio cut of the day. Boy, do I have choices for audio cut of the day coming up. So it's very frustrating because I have all these things that I want to share. I even took notes about the trip, and
That's good.
Yeah, it is good, but I don't know if I could collate my thoughts very properly, so some of this might have to be shared tomorrow. But you know, when we left here 10 days ago, and then I get overseas, as I mentioned, that power outage was going on in Spain, and I do want to cover that just a little bit. I wanted Fred to come back in here because I wanted to mention some of the things from the trip as well. But here's what I would say. One thing about the choice of the Pope, and if you are a fan of movies or if you're someone who thinks you're going to watch the movie Conclave, which was nominated for Best Picture, you turn off or turn down the radio for 30 seconds, okay?
Okay.
You had a question about that?
Well, I read a story today that I almost put in Sue's News, but didn't, that some of the new Cardinals were watching that as reference.
Okay. I saw something like that, too.
And real?
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll ask Fred if that's real, but here's what I'm going to tell people right now in case they maybe want to see that movie, okay? I'm going to give you fair warning, blah, blah, blah. The question I was going to ask Fred is, hey, are they deciding, spoiler alert, that's why I'm going to do a spoiler, are they trying to decide whether the new Pope has ovaries?
I've just got to say.
Is that in the, wow.
I just have to say.
Dude, this is how that movie ends. That was the biggest complete waste of flipping time that I've spent watching anything, perhaps, in the last decade. I sat on the plane on Lufthansa, which, by the way, what a terrible aircraft I had, and I watched that movie. And, you know, I think it was okay, and I'm watching the process, and the process that they're represented in the movie of the conclave, I think was semi-accurate, but the ending and the way that they formed that story was utterly ridiculous. Do not waste your time. Okay, now you can turn the radio back up.
Fair enough. Fred, so, did you see
I don't know what was the bigger
shock.
I don't know what was the bigger shocker to me. The end of the conclave, the movie, or the end of this conclave when we have an American Pope.
Well, there you go.
Okay, yeah. Does he live here though? I thought he lived elsewhere.
Who?
The new Pope.
Yeah. He lives at the Vatican. He hasn't lived in the United States for a while.
That's what
it is. Because he spent most of his life in Peru as a missionary.
Okay. So if he's
so
mostly,
that's why he's the least American of the Americans.
I gotcha.
You know, he was born and went to school here, but then I spent a lot of time as a Peruvian missionary.
Wait, but like you're saying he has lived in the Vatican
since he was appointed.
Oh,
so for 20 months or so.
I didn't know that.
He's a Vatican cardinal.
Okay,
so
I got
mostly he's a guy who lived in Peru. Born and raised Peru, here, right. And then lived in Peru for most of his life, and then 20 months ago went to the Vatican.
And he has dual citizenship with America and Peru.
Oh, that's
so
probably,
he's also a Peruvian
citizen.
They
probably liked that.
And so, he's head of like the Latin American Bishops Committee.
Okay, and we'll continue to talk about the Pope. We're going to get into the Pope stuff here in a second. I want to address a couple things, though, just randomly, just because I know I'm going to probably bring them up with a couple of guests this afternoon. And this was one thing about, you know, you see all this history overseas, and I think, Fred, I might want to spend some time with Mike Kenny tomorrow, who's my tour guide.
He's all set.
Good, because I think he will be able to refresh my memory. But here's one thing I do remember. We got delayed for 2 days in Athens because the winds were whipping 40 to 50 miles an hour.
That is nuts.
Yeah, and it would not have been safe. And we were on the top of some of these, you know, mountains, and the wind was literally blowing you off the mountain. It was crazy. We were told that they closed the Acropolis and the Parthenon one day because it was too windy up there. But so we had extra time in Athens before we hit the cruise. And the reason I was kind of making fun of the French is because we're on a French cruise liner. We had 28 Americans, and there were 80% of them were French on board. And all the, you know, they did English language announcements, but most of it was in French. And then the French hate us, and I'll get into that. Some of the things that we were lucky. We had a woman who was in the French group with her sister and her mom for her mom's 80th birthday. And Cece was this woman's name, and she lives in Florida, and she's an American. She actually married an American, and she speaks from Belgium, but she speaks French. So she was giving us all this stuff about the French people and how they were annoyed by us, and I'll get to that in a second. But this made an impression on me because we had just talked about Larry David in that ridiculous column that he wrote a couple of weeks ago when he was acting like Bill Maher, when Bill Maher went down to Mar-a-Lago, was Hitler. And he wrote it like, "My Dinner with the Fuhrer." Remember that, Sue? We mentioned that?
Yep.
So, touring around Athens, I'm learning about the history. It's overwhelming. It really is. You get into World War II, and we were approaching this big wall. It was an apartment building. Nothing fancy at all. And the tour guide points over there, and he sees, you know, he says, all those marks on the wall over there, those are bullet holes. And he explained what the bullet holes, they weren't holes, if you will, indentations, right? But you could see all these marks on the wall, up and down this building. And I wish I could just tell you right now what building it was or where it was. I cannot do that. But here's what I do know is, and this is, you know, established history. When the Nazis, if someone took out someone who was in the military, they would shoot 10 civilians. They'd line them up and they'd just shoot them.
Good grief.
So the bullet marks that were on this building were from when that happened, when they just completely assassinated Greek people because they were trying to fight for their freedom and not be taken over by the Germans. So I think it's important to kind of think about stuff like that before you make Nazi comparisons and all this other ridiculous stuff, because it's completely embarrassing when you think about it. So that was one thing I want to mention, just because I think I'm going to bring it up here this afternoon. And it was stark when you think about that. But let me get to some St. Louis stuff here. Because did you see what Tish said today?
No.
Oh, my God. So I didn't have all the time that I usually have with the prep, but here's the story that's in the local paper. Here's another thing about the local paper. And I asked Fred today, Sue, do you subscribe at all?
I do online.
Did you get the notification of the increase?
I did, and then I put it on my calendar to cancel. And then when you call to cancel, sometimes they give you a better deal, heads up.
Well, sometimes they better, because I'm canceling right away. They're charging me more for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, which is a complete piece of you-know-what newspaper.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And the only reason that I get it is because I'm a talk show host in our city. I like some of the sports coverage. Truth be told, the only person I think I like is Derek Gould. I don't think I like any of the rest of them, but I do want to see the Cardinals coverage. I want to see the Blues coverage. They're raising the subscription, the monthly price, to $38 a month.
I am out.
Are you kidding me? For that piece of crap?
Mark.
So there's no way. So, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if this is going to bother you moving forward, but I'm going to be talking about a few fewer things in the city of St. Louis that, let's face it, we don't really care about anyway, because I can't access that paper. There is not a chance in hell that I'm going to pay $38 a month for that rag.
No, I'm not either. Here's the problem. Sometimes print, and I know it's the Post-Dispatch, is the best form of actual investigative journalism, and they have time to talk about it and dig in, and I hate to see a medium, whatever it is, give up the ghost. That must be why they're trying to charge more, but I can't pay $38 a month for that.
It's ridiculous. Fred, can you tell, I need to have a number written on the board for Ethan, because I don't want to go too long here, so I'm going to need that. But here's the story when I was popping around right before the show. The headline is, ex-St. Louis Mayor Tashar Jones blasts voters for turning on black women.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Former Mayor Tashar Jones, after a big re-election loss last month, is calling out city voters, that's you, Sue.
Yeah, it is me.
For turning their backs on black women in power. In an interview with St. Louis Public Radio, published today, this is another great thing. I love the fact that, and I don't know if he can do it, he did sign an executive order to defund that nonsense, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I think there's a legal question about whether he can do it, but let's get Congress involved, because there's nothing that would make me happier than to rip that money away from that organization. They don't deserve it. They've been sucking off the teat of our tax money for so long. So she sits down with them, and she says that white South Side voters, that's you, Sue, abandoned her for Mayor Kara Spencer, a white woman, because of race. She said that black North Side voters had unrealistic expectations of her, and said that the city is due for a reckoning after ousting a slew of black female politicians in recent months.
Yeah.
She says, my dad always told me, and it's an old phrase, that black women have to work twice as hard to get half as much. Well, I feel like we worked five times as hard and get nothing in return.
No, she worked half as hard as any other person.
This is one of the worst mayors that this city, I think I'm just going to call it here. She's the worst mayor that has ever existed in St. Louis. It's not even freaking close. Lyda Crisson would be a close second, because she sucked ass too. But for her, all of a sudden, and here's what I'd like to know about NPR. You think that they challenged her at all? I'm going to see if there's audio to this. I will say, and I've said this before, Jason Rosenbaum, who is one of the reporters over there, he's actually one of the few reporters in this city, in this region, that does real journalism. But I am curious to see if he did the interview and if there was any pushback on that. But we're going to have to wrap, because we got Kilmeade coming up. But I got a lot on my mind, if I can collate the thoughts here this afternoon.
Wow.
Kilmeade's coming up. We got a Thursday edition of Sue's News. Hey, I heard you got to pick the music when I was gone too, Sue.
Yeah, 2 days. It was so great.
I told you it's fun, right? Down by the water, down. All right, Thursday afternoon on the Mark Reardon Show with, this is weird, I'm doing the show after a little bit of time off for a trip to Greece. With us this afternoon for his weekly visit, Mr. Brian Kilmeade. Brian, how are you?
I'm good.
Happy belated birthday. One thing I noticed on my flight back last night, I was popping around Twitter. I believe they surprised you on the show yesterday, didn't they?
They did, yes. Brought my wife and dog in because my kids are all at college.
Well, that was pretty cool. I'm at the point where I'm not acknowledging birthdays anymore. If someone does that to me, I'm getting very angry with them. But happy belated birthday for sure. Let's talk about the new Pope. Any thoughts on that? That happened maybe even quicker than some people were anticipating.
Yeah, I mean, I was in meetings when they announced it. I'm just listening to him now. I thought to myself, I can't believe it's an American. But I do say this, Mark, you're going to get to it sooner or later. He seems very anti-Trump, anti-J.D. Vance, if you look at his Twitter feed. And I can't believe my Pope is tweeting, but or Xing, whatever they call it. But let's see if he comes around on that. Trump said some nice things now. Hopefully we keep it light. But I thought that's, I don't know if anyone cleaned up their social media before you got elected Pope. That never used to be an issue.
See, you're breaking news to me because I had no idea. So he said some things out on Twitter as a cardinal that were very non-complimentary to this administration. Not a shocker, I guess.
Exactly. Retweeting things. So you're about to get besieged by it, I'm sure. Hopefully he's a great person and he can explain himself. Or maybe he doesn't want to. Maybe he just doesn't like Trump. That would be kind of bad. Maybe he'll say something, but young enough that he's going to be around a while, perhaps.
Yeah, he's in his 60s, right?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see about that. Did you watch Joe Biden on The View today, Brian Kilmeade?
Pieces of it. But, they keep saying he had a great appearance. Really? He looked terrible. He said that, I would have beat Trump because I got 7 million votes last time. Okay, we'll see how that goes. He was trailing by, in every state, worse than Kamala Harris lost. So said she had 6 months to get ready. I don't know why timing was an issue. She had 3 months to get ready. She had 100 days, basically. She raised $1 billion. That's true. She had plenty of money. But he's so proud. He can't believe how much he did. That's his biggest surprise. It came up so fast, re-election. Didn't have a chance to really think about it. So, I'm listening to Mark Halperin this morning, and he said part of it is they're out of money. They're out of revenue streams. Nobody really wants to publish his book. Nobody's definitely going to build his library. His son can't do anything. He can't. He's unemployable. So I guess the Bidens don't want to get a job, and they're going to just continue to live off what Joe did, maybe. I'm not sure.
So this question is partially for me just because I might have missed it, but is Abrego Garcia, is that still a thing right now? Are they still trying to talk about the Maryland father?
Not many people. They're starting to fade out on it. ABC ran a story last night is that the Justice Department interviewed someone in prison who hired him to be his human trafficker, to pick up people at the border and bring them to various states. So that's what he was doing. It's amazing, but I'm sure he's not a gangster. Yeah, I'm sure he's not up to it. I'm sure he's a great guy, union worker, fantastic man.
Yeah, he was heading, remember, did you see the traffic stop? I watched that. So the traffic stop in Tennessee, he was coming from St. Louis, Brian.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And that's that. And they said it is textbook human trafficking. That's exactly what you do. You pick up people, you have an extra bench seat in the car. Obviously he didn't have a license and he's speeding. So he's not bright. And he gets pulled over. Nobody can speak a word of English in the car, and there's no luggage. That's trafficking. So good luck. You want to get that guy out? That guy's right where he belongs, believe me. But Trump's having problems with the Aliens and Enemies Act. We had two courts say you can't do it. I mean, they're going to keep working their way up until they get a yes, hopefully, because I like to see it done. And the question is, and this is his question, and I don't have an answer to it, and I ask lawyers all the time, if you are here illegally, commit a crime or not, you're here illegally, they know you're here illegally, you missed your desk appearance, why do you get a hearing or a trial? Why? You have due process. Are you entitled to due process? Well, why was Clinton and Obama using expedited deportation? What is that? Can you use that? Well, we'll see. I mean, I'm talking about lawyers. This is the whole thing. So what all these Democrats want to do is slow down the deportation of criminals, which is insane, but that's what they're doing through the courts.
And what's happening on our college campuses again?
Worse than ever. Upstate of Columbia, you saw what happened. These kids are studying on Wednesday. They come in, they stay for 5 hours, many of which are students. 80 get arrested, zip-tied. They have IDs. They're supposed to they better all be suspended and expelled. And if not, you get exactly what you deserve. And Columbia deserves to lose all $400 million because that's what's at stake. But it does show you, in my humble opinion, that they have no control. Because anybody with control would say, guys, dial it back. We all hate, we all hate Israel, but I can't afford to lose $400 million. But instead, they say, dial it back. And instead, they dialed it up. And that's that is noteworthy. It means it's bigger than the university.
So one of the things, you know, I'm going to disagree with the Trump administration on some things, and I didn't think this was the best idea, but then I thought about something as well, and what's your perspective on this? He talked about maybe reopening, you know, Alcatraz, and then I see that Gavin Newsom comes out and says, you know, this was a colossally bad fiscal idea. He's in California. I can name 100, if not 1,000, colossally bad fiscal ideas, including the stupid speed rail, high speed rail boondoggle. So that I don't know if it's the best idea, but for them to call this a colossal, you know, fiscally failed idea is ridiculous.
I know. It's like telling a wolf of Wall Street you're being irresponsible with your investments. You know, you might be, but you're not. It better not be you that you're not going to tell me that. I'm taking too much risk. So I hear what you're saying. I don't know why he said it. You know, that's typical Trump. I think he did it to distract. I think he thought about it one day, maybe saw the movie, and said, we should do this. And then how much would it cost to you know, refurbish the whole thing, wreck and build another, whatever. But what it does is get people off kilter. Next thing you know, I'm looking at CNN doing stories about the movie and where it came from. So it was a total distraction. I think there's a couple of things that have taken place. I'm going to talk about this Saturday night. You know, I always said, and we might have discussed this, Trump's not built for 100 days. And I mean that. If his approval rating was 70%, I don't care. Nothing he's doing is built to be judged in 100 days. So I think the next 100 are crucial to see what path he's on. But it's still not judged. And all of a sudden, think about how different things are on 110, which we're at now, roughly, and 100. I mean, now we have the Houthi rebels say, we're going to stop bombing in the Gulf. All right. Now we have a situation where China has, we have ice-breaking talks with China on Saturday. Okay, that's a little different. Now we actually have a trade deal. Well, that's kind of interesting. So we're starting to move in certain directions. And meanwhile, the other thing that's not ready yet is the big, beautiful bill. It's obviously not ready, but they're moving that forward. I mean, you have different things that are breaking. You even have an American Pope. So things are starting to already. Also, you have, I think, 10 of 11 days the market's gone up. And for 9 days, they set a record for the amount it's increased. So it's actually surpassed where it was. So things are starting to move in a different direction. For those people who say it's underwater on everything except border security, I think that that's going to dramatically change by the next 100 days because he's putting things in motion. At the same time, the unexpected happens. He is India and Pakistan are about to on the brink of war. And guess who they call? Trump. Like, we would welcome Donald Trump basically walking us back off the cliff. So the unexpected, the expected, meetings with Iran, meetings with Russia. He is, to me, he's starting to wise up to the fact that Russia is not a good partner. I think that is another positive. So I also think, you know, getting along with Canada again, the prime minister came in, they had a fun sparring session. It was all in jest, getting along with Zelensky. Great meeting at St. Peter's. I know somebody where he broke down exactly what happened. They made great progress. And Zelensky said it was the best meeting he's ever had with Trump. So it's much different in 9 days. And all I could tell you, Americans, fans and foes, keep your powder dry. There's so much more to play.
I completely agree. But then, you know, everyone starts chirping on the other side about the polling and being underwater, as you referenced here. Look, how could you not have polling swing in favor of the Democrats and against Trump with the media coverage? You know, I saw some of this international coverage, especially when Canada had wrapped up their choice for prime minister. It's just ridiculous. You got Larry Sabato going on BBC World or some of these things. There was not one ounce of reality when I was watching some of this from overseas, Brian.
It's crazy. 92% of all coverage is negative. And you wonder why Trump is telling things like the AP, you know, I'm not going to your correspondence dinner. You're all fake because nobody's giving him a fair shot. And I'll tell you, I did my thing on Terry Moran with ABC. I mean, at one point, just say the border seal. How did you do it? Did Joe Biden roll a clip of Joe Biden say it can't be done without, or Kamala Harris saying, I've never been to the border, haven't been to Europe either. You know, that was the – and then you come back and go out where he's vulnerable. But the attacks and the dismissiveness, Trump just like, why am I wasting my time? I thought Kristen Welker was much fairer, fairer. He obviously likes her, gave her 3 interviews, but much fairer than the other networks. But, you know, most of the coverage is negative. That's why I hate to say it. You got to make your own judgments. I know everybody's busy. But if you see a headline that says Trump underwater, this X, Y, just say to yourself, what is actually happening? And I'm going to make my own opinion and then flip around. Don't just stay on one channel, including mine.
Oh, I completely agree. You know, and here's an example. So as I'm getting back, I'm proudly reading about how we're going to, you know, spend a little money maybe on celebrating the anniversary of the Army. And then all of a sudden, the focus isn't that. You know, I'm very happy about him being in office just for the sesquicentennial next year. And I think we talked about that. But the focus is, oh, he's doing it for his birthday. He's only doing it for his birthday. He must have changed his birthday to coincide with the anniversary of the Army. Or one of those had to be changed, right? Because there's no possibility that that could be just a coincidence.
It's incredible. And now everybody was so upset about Doge and cuts. Now they're saying, "Wow, why are we spending on a parade?" Look, personally, I don't really need a parade, but I do want special celebrations for year 250. Absolutely, and if it makes people feel better about joining and signing up, and helps recruiting, that is a bigger picture. Which I feel, you know, you impress a 7-year-old who looks up and sees the tanks and sees the personnel carriers and sees men and women in uniform, and they are inspired to join because of what they saw, what they see in the movies, what they see in person, what's covered on TV. It becomes cool. And that's part of the reason why, you know, Pete, I think, is a good symbol. Being in the military is cool again. Military people are signing up again. You know, kind of the wars have calmed down. I think that helps. But I also think that things like those parades and shows also help.
I'm with you as well. All right, you mentioned the weekend show. Anything else cooking for this weekend?
Yeah, Stephen Miller is going to be my lead guest. I'm going to go over to Charlie Kirk. I'm going to talk to Douglas Murray. I'm going to have Zarna Garg, this Indian comedian, which is a fantastic origin story. And Emily Austin will do the media matters that the media moments that matter. So we're ready to go. I wish the show could start now.
I know. It seems like one of those weeks for sure. Kill me. Thank you so much. Have a great week and enjoy the show this weekend.
Welcome back, Mark. Thanks.
Hey, and I have from, you know, kind of Miss Sue's News myself, and a Sue's News for Thursday is coming up after Fox News.
Get more at 971talk.com.